Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Coors' 49th birthday would have been today. That's one of the most, you know, tragic murders from somebody who was so young, had so much potential, and had so much, I don't know if, you know, energy is the right word, but just you hate to lose somebody like that, especially because he was so powerful with his message, so powerful with his words, especially, you know, you look at, just look at the environment that we're in right now, and that was somebody that was always kind of fighting for equality. Okay, so one of the things that I mentioned as we, I talked about this so much yesterday. You remember this, Jess? I was kind of one on my own little island, and I think callers actually started convincing me that, okay, by playing basketball games, good things can happen from it. And it's not just going to be a distraction, which I do think it will definitely be a distraction, but you can use that platform in many other ways. That was yesterday. In just 24 hours, look at all the changes, like from the NBA, of saying, okay, we hear you, we understand, we think we could still accomplish both. That's just, that's the difference between the NBA and Major League Baseball. They're listening. They're listening to the players. They want their input. And that's how you have a healthy league compared to, I just use baseball as an example, just because they're in this situation right now where they look like they are so against what any of the players say, and the players are so against what any of the owners or the commissioner has in mind.
Yeah, I get frustrated every time we talk, even compared to just because it's, get it done, MLB. I'm still in that old man mode. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I also got distracted because my girlfriend's eating very loudly her yogurt.
What kind of yogurt?
What kind of yogurt are you eating?
Greek yogurt.
That's a good pick. Yeah.
Strawberries.
What else? Okay. Granola.
Did she cut them up? She has to cut them up.
Yeah, right? she cut them up.
Yeah, it can't be too big of a chunk there. What else is in there?
Blueberries.
Raspberries.
Cheese. Oh, so the whole berry family. Whole berry family is there.
And that's it. No banana?
We don't have any.
I thought we had a banana.
Our banana went bad.
Yeah, that kind of changes everything. It changes everything. Curtis, turn off his mic. We don't have banana. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. all right. We got a serious subject here, and I went into a yogurt conversation. Let me play Adam Silver on this NBA virtual roundtable. And this is why I want to play it, because, you know, you have players that want to speak their mind. You have players that have concern about this incredible movement that's going on. And hopefully, you know, this is something that continues. But here's Adam Silver in the span of, you know, the last 72 hours, you can say, this is his thoughts on what the NBA needs to do and their responsibility.
I just add that in addition to issues around how voting is conducted, voter suppression, we also know there's a fair amount of skepticism among young people and people who are at the bottom of the pyramid that change can really come about. People need to see it really makes a difference, because we have to recognize that there is a underclass in America, and it's not just people of color, but it includes people of color in many cases, who've given up on the system. And in some cases, that's where you see protest. And in some cases, even why it turns to violent protest, because people are saying it doesn't matter. You know, you might as well just, you know, burn the house down. And I think for those people, on one, it's been, you know, wonderful to see so many members of the NBA community out there talking about meaningful protest, nonviolent protest. But at the same time, I do think it's critically important that we begin to show these people why it matters that they vote. And I think, Magic, to your point, and Mayor Lightfoot, the things that you're doing in office, I mean, those are stories that we have to tell. And that's part of what the NBA and the WNBA can do with this these platforms we have, to be telling these stories of how you really can affect real change.
That's Adam Silver. That's your commissioner of the National Basketball Association, not hiding from these tough topics. No, he actually goes on platforms and formats, and he talks about it, and he tries to make some change. Shams Charania on The Athletic earlier today, he put out this tweet. NBA has informed all 30 teams of this entering 2019-2020 resumption. A central goal of our season restart will be to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social justice. I'll read this kind of clip here, and then I want to hear from Malika Andrews, who was on SportsCenter, of what this Players Coalition, what their goal is. A central goal of our season restart will be to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social injustice, including combating systemic racism, expanding educational and economic opportunities across the Black community, enacting meaningful police and criminal justice reform, and promoting greater civic engagement. We are in discussions with the Players Association to develop a comprehensive strategy on how the NBA, its teams and players can best address these important social issues and uniquely position our league to drive action and create meaningful and generational change. That's what the NBA has done over the short span. Here's ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews on SportsCenter. She details what the NBA Players Coalition wants the league to do.
Avery Bradley, who is one of the leaders of that Players Coalition, told Adrian Wojnarowski and I exactly what it is that they are hoping to have come to light today. So it's three things. One, he said, we would like to see an improvement in hiring practices for Black coaches, Black general managers, Black presidents, because they want to see the decision makers of the league better reflect the racial makeup of the players. Secondly, they would like to see the league work more with Black business owners and Black vendors. And then thirdly, they would like to see more financial donations, like from what we've seen from Mark Cuban and Michael Jordan, to organizations that serve Black people. And so he said today, Avery said, look, I support the people who want to go to Orlando and want to use that platform. What I would like is for help from our owners, because that will make our message more impactful. So that's what they're asking for, Sage. They're asking for that help.
So I think for a lot of those people out there, and that's a great article right now, Malika Andrews and Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN. The article obviously goes into what this Players Coalition is looking for. It's a great example. It's a great example of players that went against the grain, felt something, wanted to make some kind of change, used their platform to raise these specific concerns that they have. What came out of it? The NBA is working with them now. So I think for a lot of those people who called into the show or have had this take over these last couple of days, that you can actually use your platform like the NBA can to raise more awareness than if you decided not to play. Okay, that's all talk. But what is it going to look like? And that's what I think Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard, two Los Angeles Lakers, are putting into play. Okay, let's do this when we come back. Magic Johnson was part of this virtual roundtable as well. So we just got a chance to listen to Adam Silver and just kind of give his thought process on what's next for the NBA. And NBA Players Association President Antonio Davis was on the Sedano show this morning. And he wanted to clarify some comments about LeBron James. I think the question was brought up, should LeBron James be doing more? Should he come out publicly and say more and so forth? He wasn't a part of that call with the players back on Friday. So we'll get into that. That's all coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. You know, we saw this article come out yesterday about some different Dallas Cowboy players, one of them being Ezekiel Elliott, and then some players from the Houston Texans. They tested positive for COVID-19. They didn't detail how many players, but it's going to be interesting to see. The NBA is getting through all these challenges to eventually try and, you know, take that chance of playing in the Orlando bubble. And so many details came out today. A lot of them came out from Shams from The Athletic, but so many details came out today of what it's going to look like, one of the things that Woj put out in a tweet, which is actually pretty funny. He says, my favorite detail in the 113-page health and safety protocol for Orlando shared with teams in past several minutes. No doubles in ping pong until directed otherwise by the NBA. Players should play singles only, said that only so that they can maintain 6 feet of distance from each other. Joe Ingles puts out a tweet. Damn, at Jordan Clarkson, we can't team up for ping pong. Clarkson, I think, responds back, basically saying that he says, I'm hot. We were ready for smoke. Fix that rule. So listen, there are so many details that came out from the NBA. And really, at the end of the day, I think what it's going to come down to is, will the NBA get that opportunity? We'll have to wait and see. NFL players, I talked about, there's some concern now, you know, from a baseball perspective. Dr. Anthony Fauci joined Bill Shaken in the LA Times, and they talked about, or he had referenced that he'd prefer that they don't play in October just because, you know, a second wave, and there's a lot of experts that think a second wave will come. But the one thing that I'll always respect from the NBA, whatever happens, is they put the league in a position to try and finish out the season. What more can you ask for? You know, there's nothing else that you can ask the NBA to do. Okay, maybe it's not perfect. Maybe you wanted 20 teams instead of 22. Maybe you thought you should go straight to the playoffs and have 16 games. Yeah, we can complain over small details, but the reality is the NBA has given itself a shot. Now it's just going to come down to whether this virus will, you know, it will shut the league down again or if it won't. So we'll have to, you know, obviously kind of wait and see what happens. But if you haven't got a chance, I mean, I don't even know where to start. Curtis, we have all these tweets from Shams, from Woj. I literally don't even know where to go to. There was one sent out about 40 minutes ago, NBA protocol for positive coronavirus test result. Enter immediate isolation, separate location, isolation housing, he puts in quotes. Retest to confirm positive, exit isolation after consecutive negative tests, and return to activities. Goes on, there's more. Failure to comply with protocols subjects a player to potential discipline such as a warning, fine, suspension, and or removal from the campus. And this, I think it's 113 pages of rules. So when you hear that there's players out there that are uncomfortable about going in that Orlando bubble, I don't blame them. You know, I have some sympathy towards them. I have some sympathy because, yes, it's unbelievable. It's going to be beautiful. There's a barber. There's a movie theater, DJ setups, pools, hiking trails. Of course, the amenities are going to be great. But you're still gone, you know, obviously from your family for X amount of weeks, X amount of months. Okay, let me play this real quick. This is coming from Magic Johnson on the NBA Virtual Roundtable. Smart thing to do from the NBA. This is just kind of another thing that the NBA has been proactive on. Magic talking about how important it is for working with local leaders to help drive change.
If I was in the NBA today and the NFL players, if I was a Chicago Bear or Chicago Bull, I would pick up the phone and call Mayor Lightfoot. Sit down and say, hey, what can I do to help? Because the mayor know all the issues that are happening on the South Side or, you know, happen in the city where people of color live. And so that's how we're going to bring change, right? So maybe there's a program that these young men can say, hey, I will fund that program, Mayor Lightfoot, for you. See, that's how you bring about change. Hey, kids who graduate from high school in Chicago may need a scholarship. They got the grades to go, but they just don't have the financial means to go to college, right, Karan? So again, we bring about change. It's not just racism. It's not just police reform. There's a lot of other things that's going on in our community that needs to change as well. And these athletes and these entertainers can bring about that change by not just their platform, but also their resources and some money as well.
All right, that's Magic Johnson right there. And it's not going to be, and it shouldn't just be the responsibility of players. It really shouldn't. It should be the responsibility of owners as well. They got the, you know, obviously the deep pocketbooks as well. And there's a lot of players that they're passionate about trying to help with equality and this, you know, this issue that we have in this country. And it's, you know, I can't be one to sit back and say I'm fully 100% educated and I could tell you every example and every detail of what's going on. So I need more education as well. But I like how the players are taking initiative, and now it's up to the owners to obviously help them with that. And I feel good the NBA is going to do the right thing. So we'll leave it at that. We got halftime coming up next. As we always do leading up to halftime, is we go to Curtis. Curtis gives us the tease. Then he delivers on the tease. And then listeners sit in their car and they wait very patiently for halftime to come because of Curtis's tease. Curtis, I give you the floor.
Coming up next, we're going to discuss strange things that we see regarding sports. No, just kidding. I found out we have the same thing here, but what's the most awkward athlete jersey change?
Okay, awkward athlete jersey change. If that tease does not make you pull off the side of the road and just wait there
after
and
just the awkward tease,
just sit and wonder what it is coming up next. I don't know what we'll do it, but that's what we got
we'll find out next.
Halftime coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, I want to welcome in Kevin Pelton, ESPN senior writer, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Great article right now on ESPN+. What will the NBA's quality of play look like when the league resumes? Kevin, thanks for taking some time and joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, if we can just get to that point where play resumes and, you know, obviously we have some basketball games. I think at this point, many fans, and this is a, it sounds like just every day is a work in progress. We're trying to get closer, but I think there's also a ton of questions that come up. When I saw your article today, you know, part of me almost forgot about the actual playing part. So if you don't mind, if you can kind of walk us through a little bit of, you know, you mentioned it would be, I think, 5 months before they play again when it's all, if we get to that point and we're in August and all of a sudden games are going on, what does that look like in comparison to, I know you compared it to other lockouts, 98-99 season, 2011-2012. By the way, is that the best comp we have, is to just look at years where it was a shortened season or a lockout season?
I think so, in terms of the effect that we've seen there, where clearly the quality of play is compromised by, you know, those extended period of time, and then also the fact that, and this is maybe the more direct comparison to this year, the fact that you've got the abbreviated training camp when we start up after a lockout. And that's the same thing here, where, you know, it's going to be 3 weeks. We've seen now the schedule laid out by the handbook that the league sent out to teams today. Practice, you know, starts, I guess, less than 3 weeks. You're getting to Orlando between July 7th and July 9th. Players need to self-isolate at least 24 hours until they've tested negative twice in Orlando before they can start practicing. And then the first games are going to be July 30th. So it's a real quick turnaround, and that's something that, again, we've only really seen in the lockout seasons.
Kevin, just hypothetically, this just kind of drew my attention. So let's say a player comes. You say they have to test positive two times in a row to get the green light and start practicing. So this is in Orlando. If a player tests positive for COVID right off the bat, however that happens, right, then they go into their quarantine. They'll lose more of their training camp. I mean, these are just the realities of the situation, the predicament, but that's how it would play out, right? It's a 10 to 14. I think it was minimum of 7 days and then up to 14 days of a quarantine.
Right. I think depending how long that player showed symptoms, if they did in fact show symptoms. Yeah. I mean, that's the aspect of it is, look, obviously we can look at these past situations to give us a guide, but there's nothing exactly like this. You know, lockouts were interesting because you had this situation where there was a wide variety of, you know, how well players were keeping in shape. You know, there were some teams back in 98, supposedly, that were running, you know, organizing their own workouts during the summer and fall as they were waiting for the lockout to end. And then there were clearly some players who didn't think they were going to play at all and let themselves get entirely out of shape. But everyone still had access to gyms. things of that nature, and there wasn't the, you know, the issue of people potentially getting sick that really complicates this restart.
Yeah, it's going to be this will be, I think, one of those where we'll find out, and I think this is just part of the process. Every athlete's going to be a little bit different. Their access, you know, might be different, but this training camp's obviously going to be key to getting back into shape and so forth. So I think there's a lot of curiosity onto that. So what does that comparison look like when you start looking at the lockouts, 98-99 season, 2011-2012? What did some of that information kind of relay of how the players got back into shape and how long it took them to get back?
So one of the interesting things that, you know, I was theorizing is historically one, part of what we see, and I go into this in the article as well, is that over the course of the season, offense gets better. There's more scoring, more efficiency, and higher shooting percentages, which, you know, even from the free throw line, which tends to indicate to me that it's not necessarily defense is getting worse so much as it offenses, players getting better rhythm, better conditioning, all those factors over the course of the year. And one of the theories I had about those post-lockout seasons is that offense was down in part because, you know, that increase, that ramp up at the start of the season was even more dramatic when you had, again, these shorter training camps, these longer layoffs without game action. But that wasn't really the case. And, you know, I think part of it may be the fact that in those lockouts, post-lockout seasons, the other factor you had is because of the fact that you had to fit more games or slightly smaller number of games into a shorter period of time, you've got back-to-back-to-backs. You've got very limited rest, different travel than in years past. So that is the one case where I think this situation is going to be better for the league, that, you know, once you can get over that original rust and being out of shape, out of game shape at least, then, you know, the good news is there's no travel, obviously, because everyone will be in Orlando, and, you know, you don't have a real compressed season. There are going to be apparently a few back-to-backs in the regular season and maybe some in the playoffs, so I think the 2 days they added to the schedule after it was first announced maybe allows you not to have any back-to-backs in the playoffs. So, you know, I think that the optimistic view you can take here is, you know, it might start out really slowly, but by the time we get into the playoffs, especially by the time we roll into the second round, it should look like what we're used to.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN senior writer, what will the NBA's quality of play look like when the league resumes? Talking about that right now, great article on ESPN Plus. Kev, do you think we, I mean, I'll just use myself as an example. Regular season goes on, you play 82 games, then you got the grind of the, you know, obviously of the playoffs, and it's a long season, and especially for teams that I always am fascinated with how LeBron was able to go to the finals so many years in a row, have the success that he had. Do you think underestimate a little bit how much the travel part can take out of these players? And I only mention that now is because one of the things you're highlighting, we all know that travel now goes away. So now when you're sitting in Orlando, you don't have to be loading or hopping on a plane and traveling, you know, across the country or, you know, getting into hotels super late. That's a big, it sounds like a big difference. Do we kind of underestimate how big travel typically is and how much this is an advantage to the players?
I think so, because, you know, part of the logic, if you're looking at it from the outside, is, look, these guys are traveling in charter planes. They're going to, you know, five-star hotels. How bad can it be? And, you know, I've traveled with an NBA team back in the day. It's quite nice. It's hard to beat. But, number one, you know, I think all the research we have suggests that the simple act of flying is, you know, a harmful thing for your body. And then, number two, the downside of these charter flights is that you're taking them late at night, usually after games, arriving late into the next city, changing time zones, and that makes it difficult for players to get rest. So I think all of those factors, you know, it's a huge benefit, obviously, not the way you'd want to have it, but having everything in one site, I think helps from a performance standpoint.
Kevin, so just in general, how long do you think it's going to take before, let's just use this as an example. You laid out, let's look at training camp, and then eventually you start playing some of these regular season games, and then maybe a playing tournament playoff start. Do you feel like by the time the postseason starts, and there's only 16 games left, if obviously we have the ability to get that far, is that when we're going to start seeing kind of good, clean, crisp basketball? Everybody feels like, okay, your endurance and your ability, even you could say just teams starting to click a little bit. Would you say by playoff time, or do you think that can happen in the regular season? I know it's different for everybody, but just based upon some of the research that you were doing.
I think probably not during the regular season. I just don't know that 8 games is enough of a time period to do that. You know, especially, like I said earlier, we do see this ramp up even during a normal preseason, normal training camp. So, you know, I think for a lot of teams, like, you know, the Lakers, who don't necessarily have a lot to play for in terms of seeding, these seeding games are going to be a preseason in all likelihood for them. You know, maybe you play guys a little bit more than you would during the preseason because of the fact that, you know, on the other side is not, you know, it's not the opener on October 30th. It's playoff games where you can get eliminated. But, you know, so I think that when we get to the playoffs, my guess is the level of play will probably look a lot like the normal regular season, the start of the regular season. But then by the time we get to the second round of the playoffs, that'll start to look like playoff basketball, what we're used to.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN senior writer, taking some time to join the Sliwa show. Yeah, it is interesting, Kev, because, you know, you kind of look at each one of these teams, some of the advantages they might have for having time off, some of the disadvantages that might be there. But really, it's ultimately, this is, you know, you could almost say it's just the start of a new season. I don't know how else to put it. I remember back in the days, there used to be 8 preseason games. Now it's down to 6. And I was kind of playing this in my head and saying, oh, they'll be fine. They got plenty of time. It's like a regular training camp. But the reality is, you don't just jump into the playoffs, right? There's your regular season. It takes a couple of months for teams to start gelling. And I know that they're going to have the advantage of this is the same roster, this is the same team, hopefully for most of these teams. But I think I've taken a lot of that for granted. So I could see that an article like yours, kind of talking about the quality of how the basketball is going to look, that's a very fair question to ask.
I hope so, and I hope it was illuminating.
Okay, final one I got for you. How do you think the NBA has laid everything out just to get everything back on track? Just your thoughts on what the plan looks like, how it can be most effective, just your thoughts on how it's looking like in Orlando for the NBA.
Well, I think the one question that's really coming up right now is players wonder, you know, whether they want to go given, you know, number one, being away from their families for an extended period of time where you're not going to be allowed a guest until, you know, after the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, I think that's about 7 weeks. And then also just, you know, for these players, taking them away from the protests that are ongoing in this country and an important moment in terms of social justice and understanding police brutality against the Black community. Given all that, you know, it does start to raise some questions about the fact that you're bringing 22 teams into this setting. And, you know, I understand why, number one, they wanted to create more excitement. Number two, they wanted to play more games because that generates additional revenue that, you know, gets split between the players and the owners. But, you know, if you're a team that has a very limited chance of even making the playoffs, I start to wonder what your motivation is going to be coming to Orlando if, you know, there are these players who understandably have serious questions about it. And it's one thing if you're the Lakers, you're LeBron James, and, you know, this is a chance to compete for a championship. It's another altogether if you're on a team that probably, even if things go well, you know, the best case scenario is you lose in the first round of the playoffs. So that'll be interesting to see whether, you know, the 22-team format is set in stone or whether that's something that might adjust based on the response of the players here.
That's a fair question. I mean, you know, when you do think about it, I don't think anybody believes New Orleans and Memphis and Detroit and the Nets and the Phoenix Suns, the San Antonio Spurs, or the Sacramento Kings, just to name a few, right? And I'm sure there's more that are in that top 6, top 7 frame on the East and West that we could put on that list as well of nobody really believes they have a legitimate chance to make some noise. Maybe some of that motivation is going to be these young players from some of these teams getting their first chance to be in the postseason. I'm sure there's a lot to gain from it, but at the same time, at what cost? And especially with so many questions, once we do get down to the bubble. By the way, you don't even have to get to the Orlando bubble even before anybody has gone down there for, you know, completing the season and crowning a champion. More questions than answers, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Kevin, I appreciate you doing this, and great article. For those, I encourage you to go out and take a read. ESPN Plus, ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton on what will the NBA's quality of play look like when the league resumes. Kevin, thanks for taking the time, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, we got our final thoughts coming up next. I want to spend some time a little bit on Major League Baseball, the latest of what's going on in a sport that has been, I don't know if reeling is the right word, but definitely a lot of questions being raised about Major League Baseball, figuring out a way to kind of follow these other leagues that have at least put dates in front of them that they can complete their season or start their season. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Hi, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPN LA marketing at ESPN.com with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. Just a quick plug, tomorrow, get the chance to have Kirk Morrison a part of the show from 6:30 to 9. So the entire show tomorrow, looking forward to that. Can't tell you how much I love doing shows with Kirk. So when you just know that you have a good dialogue with somebody, and you could put together a good show with them, it's going to be great to have Kirk on tomorrow. So he'll be on for the entire show. Tell him how it is there, Curtis. Tell him how it is. I want to go back to baseball. And I know for, you know, this is continuing to be the conversation, and it will be. And it's fair. You know, it's fair to have these conversations about baseball and how important, how critical it is for them. Just find a way to get it done. We don't care how it gets done. We don't care about pointing the finger at it's your fault, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault. All that is kind of irrelevant right now. The most important thing is you do what a lot of these other games or a lot of these other sports were able to do. Less excuses, more production. The Major League Baseball right now has been the blueprint of how to do things the wrong way. I think baseball's got that down. Don't worry about baseball. They've got that part covered. But Jeff Passan, who was on GetUp a little bit earlier today, he took a little bit more of an optimistic view, and he's not the only one. There's Bob Nightingale was on Mason Island, and he highlighted that they said, give us a percentage chance what you think you know, baseball will return. He just gave out 100%, not 99.9, not 95%, not 80%, 100% he thinks baseball is going to return. Jeff Passan, who's been all over ESPN these last couple of months as all this has been going down from a baseball perspective, he thinks Major League Baseball is in a better place today. But one clip that I do want to play is he still thinks that they could play 70 to 75 games and players have, I guess it's one of those, this theme and this message, tell us when, where, and we'll be there. This has been the theme that players have had, big time players that have Gerrit Cole's on there, Max Scherzer's on there. You've heard from big time players that have always that have this theme in baseball. Jeff Passan goes a little bit further into how many games he still thinks they could play.
Well, if we look at their last offer, it was for about $1.5 billion. If you give that a prorated salary in full, that's about 60 games. The players were at 89 games. There is absolutely a point in the middle or somewhere near the middle where they can meet. And I did the math for a column on ESPN.com. The middle is 74 games. And I understand if it takes a week to get there and 3 weeks of spring training, we're talking a mid-July or so start. And that kind of squeezes the schedule. But if there is some flexibility on the back end, if there are some doubleheaders that are put into play, they can play Greeny somewhere between 70 and 75 games. And at this point, I think owners have to recognize that they are in a position where they need to be the ones who are bringing baseball back, because the players are just sitting here saying, you tell us when, you tell us where, we'll be there. And that is an extraordinarily simple and powerful message.
I love that theme, by the way. I love the theme that a number of players have taken. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It was Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer. That's just to name off a few of them. But tell us when and where. and we'll be there. And that's kind of been this theme from some of the different players. For a league that has had a lot of negative press, and I kind of continue to emphasize this, who has a commissioner, Rob Manfred, he just hasn't been the right leader. That's just the only way to put it. You're supposed to be the middleman. You're supposed to be the person that smoothes things out between the players and the owners. Now, somebody can join the show and argue, no, Alan, that's not the case. The commissioner actually just works for the owners. True. But you want both sides to feel good about whatever deal is there. You want both sides, from a big picture perspective, have in mind that baseball is in, you know, in good hands. And I don't think that's been the case. Bill Chaiken, who came out with an article from the LA Times, got a chance to interview Anthony Fauci. So Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He said in a phone interview with the LA Times, talking about postseason, trying to wrap up the postseason in September, says, if the question is time, I would try to keep it in the core summer months and end it not with the way we play the World Series until the end of October when it's cold. He goes on to say, I would try to avoid that. Basically, what they're referring to, why is that important? It's important because the league has told the union that postseason television revenue is worth $787 million. It's a big deal. It's obviously a big deal for baseball, and it's a big deal because that time frame, which nobody – listen, everyone's going to give their best effort. Adam Silver, you've heard him over the last couple of days. There's no guarantee that this Orlando bubble is going to work. There's no guarantee that the NBA that puts out this entire plan has the structure in place, gets kind of the green light from Dr. Anthony Fauci. Actually play that right now. Dr. Anthony Fauci was on Fox 11, and he said that he likes the bubble that the NBA has put into place, that he thinks it might actually work, but he also knows it's a trial and error period for all the sports, all the businesses, all the corporations. How about Dr. Anthony Fauci on who he thinks is going to win the NBA championships? Fauci was on Fox 11.
Well, you know, I have to say the Lakers for sure.
Yes, good answer. We right. like that. The question's going to be, can we have a parade?
Well, I don't know about that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're sending this message to LeBron James, Dr. Fauci, officially picking the Lakers to win the NBA championship.
All right, what more do you need? All right. What more do you need?
Smartest man of the country.
What more do you need? How about that? He says Lakers. And then the next question is, can we have a parade? I think that's a safe, that's a hard no, that there isn't going to be a parade. But I say all this because it's one thing not to be able to play out your season because of COVID-19. The whole country's dealing with it still. You got different places. I think Beijing went into lockdown, different places across the world where it's still an issue. It's one thing for that to happen because of the health issues and because of this pandemic that we're in. But it's a whole nother story with baseball, that it's just literally coming down to egos, owners against players, greed, and a commissioner that, in my opinion, really hasn't done much for baseball at all, at least over these last couple of years, has not handled anything the right way, has under his belt a World Series that went to a team that cheated in 2017, and didn't do anything about it, or didn't do enough about it. I think it's a combination of all those things that leaves people with a lot of unrest when it comes to Major League Baseball. Okay, couple things I want to plug here real quick. Kirk Morrison tomorrow from 6:30 to 9. So Sliwa Show 6:30 to 9, and I'll do do crosstalk starting at 6 o'clock with Mason and Ireland, and then also just a reminder that starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Big thank you to Curtis. Big thank you to Jesse. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you tuning in. Have a great night.